Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, play, we take it to the house. M.I.A., take it to the house. It's the way we take it to the house. Take it to the house, take it to the house. 305, take it to the house. Well, we got that vibe. Take it to the house. Slip inside, take it to the house.
Take it to the house. Hello, and welcome to Monday Morning Hangover, the brand new fantasy football podcast brought to you by BackSportsPage.com. My name is Mo, and we're coming to you live with my co-host T and producer Khan. Guys, why don't you say a little something?
Hey, how's it going? I'm the co-host T.
Before we get started, just want to mention that if this doesn't initially sound as good as other podcasts you've listened to, it's probably because it isn't as good as theirs, and most podcasts are pre-recorded. We'll be doing this live with no editing, which should make it more entertaining. All right, so first off, I just want to thank everybody for listening in. Unless you're in one of my leagues, and then you're just a flat-out cheater, but we could use the listeners nonetheless. And despite training camp still being 2 weeks away, we still have a jam-packed show for you. We're covering a very exciting offseason in the NFL. This show, we're going to talk draft strategy, rookie running backs, sophomore quarterbacks, position battles, all things that will influence your decisions on draft day. So be sure to stick around. We encourage our listeners to call in. We love to hear from you, and we'll be taking calls later on. The phone number is 760-283-0846. Again, that's 760-283-0846. Or you can write in the chat room provided. All right. Let's get the show started.
Right, also,
please do not text during the show, especially my friends. You know, you can't hear one of us or there's another serious problem. But until then, just listen and enjoy. All right, this show is brought to you again by BackSportsPage.com. All right, you can go there, plenty of NFL interviews. It's a really good website, actually. We got tons of stuff going on, but let's get to the point. Fantasy football, of course. Leagues are going to be starting soon. The most important day of any fantasy football league is, of course, draft day. So let's get started with that. What we want you to do, we want to teach you how to draft, how to prepare for your team, because you can't win on draft day, but you can certainly lose your league on draft day. All right, so here, where are we going with this?
I think the most important thing is to prepare properly. You have to do your own rankings. You know, the idea is not just to pick up a magazine on the way to your draft and expect to do well. Magazines aren't updated. And, you know, you basically have to know the players inside and out to expect to do well in your draft.
What we think that everyone should do, I mean, as much as we could tell you, we don't know everything. Every expert or so-called expert that we listen to, they don't know anything either. Make your own ranking. You've done the work. You're listening right now. You obviously enjoy fantasy football. You're dedicated to it. You know just as much as we do, and this is your team. You're going to have to live with these players that you draft throughout the entire year. So what we want you to do is be happy with your own team. You know, just make sure when you're going in, you know things such as injuries, suspensions, you know team situations such as their starters, depth charts, offensive scheme, stuff like that. All these things are going to influence how these guys play throughout the year. All right, what's the next thing, too?
Well, I think as far as doing your rankings, the first thing to do is cheer your players. Where the big drop off is per position.
Right, not to be confused with Thierry, your players.
Nice.
Anyway, go ahead.
All you need to know your league settings. Know your, how many positions are used. For example, if there's two quarterback league, if you have a flex, three wide receivers, and such. Also, I think you need to know your scoring. You know, is it a PPR league, standard league? I think PPR is in the standard. How many points per passing, touchdown, stuff like that.
Of course, every league differs. Look into your fantasy commissioner or look into your rule settings, your rules changes before each draft. That's obviously important. It can influence where you take a certain player, especially quarterbacks. If touchdowns are 6 points per touchdown for throwing touchdowns, or 4 points per touchdown, it's always going to be different. And, of course, you need to know how many teams are going to be in your league. All right? That always influences the scarcity of certain positions, how deep your team is going to be, stuff like that. Of course, I prefer, it's different for everybody, the deeper you go, sounds gross, the deeper the league is, the more fun it is, you know, the more in-depth it is, the more you have to study. I like going with 12 teams, always have to have a select two quarterback leagues that are a little bit more fun, and it just involves more players in the NFL, and it gets you involved in more games as the season's going on. All right, so we need to go with the draft plan, what's the best way to do it?
Well, like you said, you have to go in with a plan. You know, have an idea what you want to do, especially in the early rounds, what position you want to target, even, you know, maybe some specific players that you want to target. And obviously, when you're applying your draft plan, you want to use your league settings to your max potential. You know, if you want to target wide receivers early in the PPR league, quarterbacks early in a two-quarterback league, stuff like that.
All right, and of course, you need to pay attention, like you said, pay attention to teams around you are drafting. Of course, it's going to influence who's going to be available. If a few guys ahead of you have a quarterback taken, then you don't have to reach for a quarterback. You could always wait until a later round.
Right, and not only that, you know, if you're doing a league with your friends, a private league or something like that, and you have the one Vikings fan that's going to overdraft Christian Pond or something like that, you know, you should know that the guy's in the league.
Right. That goes into another concept as well. You don't want to overdraft your own players. Of course, certain people, if you're a Giants fan, you're gonna want certain Giants players on your team. You think it's gonna be more interesting throughout the year. But just look at it this way. When the Giants struggle and the Giants do worse, your players are also going to do that, too. So you don't want to have a double whammy on the same game with your fantasy team losing and your real team losing. And you're going to, like Keith said, you're just going to overrate your players as the draft goes on. All right? You know, let's get the draft is pretty simple. Like I said, the biggest thing, just go with your own rankings. Have fun with it. What the main goal of fantasy football is to enjoy it with your friends. Don't worry so much about winning. I mean, of course, you want to win, but just enjoy yourself. Don't stress out too much. But before we get into the storyline, I just want to mention another form of fantasy sports that I like to play, and that's daily betting at ampedfantasy.com, ampedfantasy.com, where you can bet on fantasy sports for zero fees every day. All right? Like I said, it's been a very exciting offseason. What I'd like to start with is second-year starting quarterback, so not necessarily sophomore year starting quarterbacks, but we do have four big ones who are all pretty much in the same area, being drafted around the same area. The four we're talking about, of course, Andrew Luck, Russell Wilson, Robert Griffin III, and Colin Kaepernick. Kaepernick. All right, so what do you think? And if you had to rank them in order, of course, like I said, they're going in about the same area. I like Colin Kaepernick the best. I don't know. Jim Harbaugh said they didn't want him to bulk up too much. He's going to be running a lot more. He's actually been working pretty hard despite his wearing a Miami Dolphins hat in the off-season program. I don't think that's actually going to affect his play on the field. What do you think? Who would you put at the top of the list?
Actually, I would actually go with Andrew Luck at the top of the list. I think he's just actually the most naturally talented quarterback out of the four. And also, with Kaepernick, Wilson, and RG3, you run the risk of them running, which adds to their fantasy value in some ways. But as we've seen with RG3 already, he's had a torn ACL on this rookie year. And, you know, even though he looks like he might be ready for week one, you're running the risk of injury going forward.
Right, of course. And, you know, it's all indications have RG3. It looks like he's going to be ready for week one. And what they're saying is an Adrian Peterson-esque comeback, which is actually pretty impressive to come back from a torn ACL like that. And he's going to be all ready to go. I don't think they're going to be holding him back either. They want to instill the same offense that Kyle Shanahan put into effect last season. And it worked. I mean, as a rookie, he's only going to get better from here on out. You can only imagine. As far as Andrew Luck is concerned,
With the new offensive coordinator, they're actually calling a new system, the West Coast offense, which for you beginning amateur fantasy players, what that means is going to be throwing most probably just as much. It's just shorter passes, you know, more easier passes, let's put it that way. And the actual rookie this year, he went in the season with Donald Brown as his starter last year, who happens to be his third running back this year. Now, I don't think Donald Brown just got that bad within a year. Maybe it looks like they just upgraded at the position. All right.
And just to add on to the Andrew Luck, I love what the Colts have done around him. You know, he has the veteran wide receiver, Reggie Wayne. But to go along with that, they just build around him properly. They, you know, they drafted two tight ends and a spot wide receiver for him the year they drafted him. And T.Y. Hilton, his college teammate, Kobe Greener and Woody Allen. And then they went ahead and signed Demond Bradshaw, who's widely known as the best pass protecting running back in the league. So I just think that Andrew Luck would be trending upwards this year.
Yeah, of course. Don't forget, you say, and Darius Heyward-Bey is a deep threat.
To add a deep threat.
Although it's going to be a West Coast offense, of course, he's going to stretch the field. He was at time, Darius Heyward-Bey was at time a good number one receiver last season. So he only had, I believe, like 50 catches, but he's definitely capable of going downfield, stretching the field, and just open it up. And, of course, Demond Bradshaw, he had success every time he could stay on the field, which is, of course, that's the biggest question mark with him. Can he stay on the field an entire season? But they do have Zeke Ballard, who is not necessarily a number one running back, I guess, when he has to be at the end of last season. But, you know, I think he'll be all right with the combination. And we've all seen that Tom Brown technically can carry the load.
I don't know what your love essential with Donald Brown is, but
former Big East player, I guess I'm a little biased towards it.
Yeah, I mean, Darius Heyward-Bey was drafted, you know, 8th or 9th overall for a reason. He has a lot of natural ability. You know, whether he just didn't work out in Oakland because Oakland's a terrible franchise, or, you know, he hasn't played with a quarterback like Andrew Luck. So I'm willing to give him a little bit of the benefit of the doubt, you know, see what he could do with a talented quarterback like Luck. And to say with Bradshaw, you know, being a Giants fan and watching Bradshaw, I feel like his injuries are a little overrated. He does play a lot. He's constantly busy through injuries, but he is on the field a lot for an injured player. So I'm not overly worried about Bradshaw staying on the field for the Colts.
Right. The bottom line, what we're trying to get at here is that we all think Andrew Luck, I mean, they pretty much just threw him the playbook, and he did what he had to do and took his team to the playoffs last year. Now he just has more help around him. That's only gonna improve his season, fantasy and in real life. But let's move on to the only one we haven't spoken of, Russell Wilson, probably the most successful quarterback from his rookie year. He pretty much turned Pete Carroll's coaching career around with a really impressive third-round pick because he was a little short. And he won the starting job in preseason and just ran with it. And, you know, the rest is history. He's similar to RG3, as you mentioned, where he could run the ball. His passing yards weren't quite there, but he did have about 400 rushing yards, and he gets touchdowns off of that as well. The only thing I'm concerned of, we'll get your take on it in a little bit. The only thing I'm concerned of is that they're not going to be throwing the ball that much. They already said they don't want him throwing all game. He's only going to average about 20 throws, which is actually a quote from the Seahawks. And they're a very good team this year. They're going to be ahead early and often, and we all know that Marshawn Lynch loves to carry the ball. And they're going to waste time, they're going to kill the clock and let that defense take over. So maybe Russell Wilson is the last on the list just based on opportunity alone.
I actually have him third on the list, just ahead of RG3, because of just of Griffin's injury concerns. But I agree with everything that you're saying. It's crazy to think a year ago they signed Max Lindell, a big time contract, and then when they announced Russell Wilson as the starting quarterback at camp, everybody thought they were crazy. But as the season went on, Russell Wilson did nothing but get better. And, to be fair, we've got to add that he does have one of the best newsboys in the league in Percy Harvin.
Absolutely, who is actually
he was up there in fantasy points per game. That was one of the biggest things. And Percy Harvin did that on a Minnesota offense, which pretty much based their offense strictly on the run, as we saw from a more than impressive season from Adrian Peterson. But when Harvin's on the field, he's a force, and he showed by how much Seattle was willing to give up in order to acquire Percy Harvin. But I think a lot of people are saying that they didn't seem to beat in the NFC. It was probably the right move, but that's another story for another time. Point being, if we had to pick right now, what I would say, if we had to rank these four quarterbacks, I would go Colin Kaepernick, Andrew Luck, RG3, Russell Wilson.
For what it's worth, I would go Andrew Luck, Colin Kaepernick, Russell Wilson, and RG3. And like you said, the only reason RG3 is fourth on the list is because of the injury history. But let's be honest, I mean, you really can't go wrong with any of these four. I would feel comfortable starting any of these four with my
and of course, right. And we do know that the quarterback position is very deep this year. I wouldn't reach for any of the top quarterbacks too early. When you get any one of these four guys in the later round, maybe 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th round for any one of these guys, just beware, as you mentioned, mostly with RG3, depending on how many teams are in your league, you might need to draft a backup for Robert Griffin. You know, you can just get someone later, but the injury factor is definitely a scare and that could potentially ruin your season. All right. Let's move on. We'll go to rookie running backs. There's actually a big splash in the NFL draft. Lots of rookie running backs, lots of potential opportunity for all of them to take the ball and run, literally. We do have what we want to do. We want to discuss the impact that each of these players is going to have on their team. We do have a lot of backups, guys who could potentially break through. Like we had a lot last season, Doug Martin, Alfred Morris, and there was one other rookie running back.
Trent Richardson.
There you go. The most highly touted one. I'm not a big Trent Richardson fan. Anyway, what we're going to tell you, we're going to figure out which one of these running backs is going to turn out to be the next first round pick. So let's start. We can go in order where they were drafted. Drafted 37th overall out of North Carolina. We have Giovanni Bernard, who drafted by the Cincinnati Bengals, who we know they do have Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, who is effective and consistent. That's probably the best two words to describe him. He's not necessarily the most explosive runner, but what do you think? What do you think about Bernard? They did say he could be an every down back, and I think if you take a second round pick on him, that's what you want to mold him into.
Right. I like Bernard. I think he has big playability to him in PPR leagues. He's going to catch passes out of the backfield, and I believe the Bengals team said that they were thinking about getting both running backs on the field and lining up Bernard wide. I think the Bengals offense wants to get a little bit more explosive. They already have AJ Green going there. And they drafted Tyler Eifert to play them at Notre Dame in the first round to add a closeness to their offense. The only thing that concerns me about Bernard a little bit is, and don't quote me on this, but I don't believe Ben Jarvis Green Ellis has ever fumbled in his NFL career. And and I think that Green Ellis will get all the red zone carries. Maybe not all, the majority of them, just because of the ball security factor.
Right, of course. They still have a lot to teach Gio Bernard. He is a rookie, of course, but I do like him in terms of his production this season. Of course, in keeper leagues, we're going to raise his draft status, but I have him right now ranked as the third rookie running back behind the likes of our next NFL drafted running back, Le'Veon Bell, drafted 48th overall to the Pittsburgh Steelers, who not necessarily my favorite in college, may not be my favorite running back to have. I am a Detroit Lions fan. If I could pick any of these running backs to have, it wouldn't be him, but I do like his fantasy situation. How do you not like a Pittsburgh Steelers running back in fantasy? They like to pound the ball. They're turning it into a passing offense, but with the loss of Mike Wallace, declining receivers, Heath Miller is getting older, Big Ben gets more and more hurt every year, and who knows how many women he might rape this offseason. He's not done yet, but I definitely do like the running back situation for Le'Veon Bell. What do you think about situation in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, like I said, if they do decide to go with Bell as a starter, I do like Bell because he is big enough to carry a full workload, you know, 20-25 carries a game. He's about 6'2", 230 pounds, and like you said, the Steelers like the pound ball, and Big Ben like over the play action. So I do think he can win the job in Pittsburgh. They don't have any spectacular running backs there.
You know, they didn't. Let's just be honest. They weren't very effective at running the ball last year, which is part of the reason why they didn't make the playoffs, and part of the reason they were ineffective at running the ball is Jonathan Dwyer and Isaac Redman. They're just flat out not that good.
Right.
I hope they're not listening. I think we're pretty safe there. But you know, there's a reason they drafted Le'Veon Bell in the second round, just like Gio Bernard in the second round. You want to make this guy a player. Let's be real, the Steelers have been pretty successful in recent history when drafting running backs. They know what they're doing. They just been successful in the draft overall. But let's move on to the next guy who actually he was my favorite running back in college or in terms of the NFL draft. We have Monty Ball, drafted 58 overall to the Denver Broncos. Now we know Peyton Manning-type offenses, they like to throw the ball, but once they get in the red zone, especially within 5 yards, then they've been pretty keen on running the ball in the end zone. Monty Ball is an effective between-the-tackle runner. He's great at just, you know, balling people over, no pun intended. His situation may not be the best. They do have other running backs there, you know, Sean Marino, Ronnie Hillman. They did cut Willis McGahee, you know, which was foreshadowed when Ball was selected. But I think I like his chances. I think he's going to be the starter. I don't know. We don't know if it's going to be a committee, a timeshare. What do you think about that? How much work do you think he's going to get?
Yeah, I like him. He's actually my top-ranked rookie running back, too. I like him to turn out to be the starter in Denver. I just think no, Sean Marino has been nothing but a boss. I mean, he's shown flashes, but he's been constantly getting hurt, fumbling problems, stuff like that. And I just don't think Ronnie Hillman's very good. You know, they could bring him in on third down and stuff like that because he's pretty good at catching balls out of the backfield. But I believe Monty Ball will be the main ball carrier for Denver.
And let's just be honest, Ronnie Hillman and especially No. Sean Marino, they both had trouble staying on the field, which bodes well for Monty Ball. I think they also have Lance Ball as the fourth running back to suggest that the Denver Broncos went ball deep in the backfield this year. But all right, enough of that. Next running back drafted, who is probably the most talented running back. We do have a Notre Dame fan on the show right now, so I won't talk about it for too long. But Eddie Lacy completely ran through that Notre Dame defense. After that game, it looked like he was going to be the first guy selected. He did have injury concerns, which did drop his stock to 61st overall, where the Packers, you know, just couldn't pass him up at that point. It puts him in a good situation. They didn't have much of a running game last year. Cedric Benson's now gone. Eddie Lacy is slotted in as the starter, even though the Packers are more of a running team. They also did draft, as we know, we'll just tackle both at the same time, Jonathan Franklin, 125th overall, which they could do, you know, a committee. They also have Dewan Harris, who they've spoken very highly of. And, you know, especially with Eddie Lacy's injury history, possible overusage, they don't want him to get hurt again, so they might use all three of these guys. But for fantasy purposes, I would go Lacy first. Franklin, I wouldn't reach for these guys. I mean, what do you think of the order of that?
I mean, it's, you know, we could talk about it now. If we're talking about it, I would go with Lacy first. This is going to be one of the more interesting camp battles, especially fantasy-wise, because you have to think that one of these two rookies is going to win the job. I actually kind of like Jonathan Franklin a little bit better for the Packers. I think he's a better receiver out of the backfield. You know, Eddie Lacy was nothing special in college until this past year because he ran behind one of the best offensive lines in college football history. They have three first-round picks, one future first-round pick, and I believe a third or fourth-round pick in Barrett Jones.
And I just think Jonathan Franklin was a little bit better of a fit with the Packers. You saw what Cedric Benson did in Green Bay last year, which is basically nothing. He's another big fantasy bust. And I think that Eddie Lacy's more of the mold of Cedric Benson. What is underrated here is that Aaron Rodgers is actually deceptively a good runner in the red zone. They run with him a lot. And I just don't see the Packers lining up and pounding the ball with Eddie Lacy. I think, especially in PPR leagues, Jonathan Franklin might be the better play. Well, it's probably a little early for that league, so we need to see how this battle plays out.
Right. As I mentioned before, the training camps haven't even started yet. All we can do is speculate, which given my standings in past fantasy leagues, may not be the best speculation you can go by. Let's move on to the next. These guys are more of a backup, so we're going to tackle them all at once. We have Christian Michael from the Seahawks, Niall Davis from the Chiefs, Marcus Lattimore. Let's move on. He's not going to play this year unless you're in keeper leagues. And, of course, you could stash him. Stephon Taylor will be the backup in Arizona, Joseph Randall for the Cowboys, and Zach Stacy from the Rams. The one I find the most intriguing, I would say Joseph Randall with the Cowboys. DeMarco Murray did go on the air and say he plans on playing all 16 games this season. Of course, every guy plans on playing all 16 games this season. No one plans on getting hurt. He just hasn't been able to stay healthy. Joseph Randall is slotted into the third running back right now, behind Philip Tanner, who really hasn't done much. I think he has a chance to come through it if DeMarco Murray gets hurt. We all know the Cowboys like young talent. They did the same thing with Murray a couple years ago, drafted him late, and he just exploded. And, you know, injuries aside, he actually looked pretty effective.
I completely agree with your take on Joseph Randall. I think he's just much more talented than Phil Tanner. And unless it is that DeMarco Murray's probably not going to play all 16 games. You know, it's not like he's having these freak injuries where he breaks a bone on the head or something like that. They're non-contact injuries, which just points me in the direction of thinking that he's just injury prone. I believe last year he missed five or six weeks with a sprained foot on a non-contact injury.
Right. And along those same guidelines, that's why I think Niall Davis from the Chiefs is also a very good candidate to be taken later on in drafts. It looks like he's going to be the primary backup to, you know, off-injured Jamal Charles as well. We know Charles has an injury history. He does have a little bit of wear and tear. He's a smaller running back. He doesn't get hit hard, but, you know, when he does, it might cause some problems. And Niall Davis has showed at college that he's capable of carrying load, and he's more of a, you know, he might take Peyton Hillis' role from last year.
Yeah, to be fair, Niall Davis did have an extensive injury history in college. I believe he was actually a sixth-year senior. He got two medical graduates. Definitely still worth stashing on the bench just in case something happens to Charles. He's extremely talented. He's a great running back in Arkansas. But like I said, you need to be informed on the injury history.
All right.
My favorite running back actually is Christian Michael. I think he's a most talented rookie running back in the class. Now, he's not in a great situation because he's sitting behind the second biggest workhorse in the league behind Adrian Peterson and Marshawn Lynch. But I think if he does get a chance, he could be a really great running back.
Right. And don't forget, he also has to beat out Robert Turbin as the backup, but we'll see how that plays out. Which moves us on to Zach Stacy of the Rams. A very late round pick, but he gets put in the best situation, which we will tackle in a second. Isaiah Key and Darrell Richardson will be fighting for the starting spot, neither of which has much success in the NFL. So, Zach Stacy, he's going to have a chance to make a name for himself. Once again, we'll see if he can take advantage of that. All these rookies moving on to new teams. They have a chance to make an impact this year. Let's talk about guys who, through free agency or trade or what have you, moved on to new teams, which we pretty much know are going to make an impact. They're going to be drafted much higher in your league. The biggest move, Steven Jackson going to the Falcons. They let Michael Turner go. Steven Jackson has a lot of wear and tear. He's just turned 30 years old. It looks like Falcons like to run the ball. Steven Jackson is a hard-nosed back. They still do have Jacquizz Rodgers as a change of pace back. who I also like. But what do you think of Steven Jackson? We know he can be effective. What do you think his primary role with the Falcons is going to be?
I mean, like you said, he has a lot of wear and tear, but you know, it can't be overlooked the fact that he goes from one of the least talented offenses in St. Louis last year to one of the most talented offenses in the league in Atlanta. Excuse me. I think you know he's going to get plenty of red zone chances, and he's running behind a much better offensive line. And you know, I think he overall will have a much better finish here than he did last year.
All right, we do have. Let's go to the big receiver movements. We have three in a row. We have Mike Wallace to the Dolphins, Greg Jennings to Minnesota, and Wes Welker to the Denver Broncos. Now, we can also rank these guys in order. To be honest, I'm not a huge Mike Wallace fan. Ryan Tannehill does have a pretty big arm. Their offense with the new running back Lamar Miller, we don't know how great and effective they're going to be. Mike Wallace is pretty much, he likes to run straight and blow by people. Once they can figure that out, you know, then he may not be that effective. Greg Jennings coming off an injury, that's not his usual path. He's usually been able to stay on the field for the most part. Welker, we all know what he's done. He's probably been the most consistent and effective fantasy wide receiver over the course of the past 5 years. But then again, he also had Tom Brady throwing to him. And he doesn't downgrade much, if at all, with Peyton Manning. You know, the Broncos, if he had to go in order, I would go Welker, Jennings, Mike Wallace.
Yeah, I would go the exact same order. The only thing that scares me a little bit about Greg Jennings is that we don't know what Greg Jennings is away from a great quarterback. You know, you talk about Welker not, you know, barely downgrading at all. Well, Greg Jennings is going through a huge downgrade from Aaron Rodgers to Christian Ponder.
Fair enough. And we all know they like to run the ball a lot in Minnesota. And why wouldn't you when you have Adrian Peterson there? Now let's move on to my favorite offseason signing. That's Reggie Bush to the Detroit Lions. I think we should have probably included it in that wide receiver talk because that's more of what he's going to be. He might even catch more balls than all three of those guys that we mentioned, Welker aside. But Reggie Bush has potential in that offense to be an absolute beast, and I would absolutely not be surprised if he led all running backs in receptions. PPR league, his draft stock is going to skyrocket. He has the potential. He's learned to run between the tackles. The Lions do have Mikel LeJour in order to handle that load, and also Joy Bell, who's shown to be effective in late-game situations. Mike Matthews after throws the ball. He had over 700 attempts last season, and this Reggie Bush is a perfect fit for this Lions offense.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that Reggie Bush is going to make a much bigger impact as a receiver than he is an actual runner. I believe, you know, Drake Bell and LeSure, they caught a decent amount of passes between themselves last year, and Reggie Bush is twice the receiver that either one of them are.
Exactly. We already spoke about Percy Harvin, the Seahawks. Now, the local move, the big splash, they didn't give him much of a draft pick, but I like the move that the Jets made for once. We got Chris Ivory as the running back, and he's just by default just slated to be the every down back. They don't have much else.
You mean Mike Gibson's not starting? He's going to jail?
Well, all right. Moving on. No, Chris Ivory, he's shown he doesn't have much. He didn't have much of an NFL workload, which could be good. He's going to have a lot left on the tires. They don't have the best offensive line. We all know they have pretty much no passing game right now. They're an eight for Ivory. You know what? Just on opportunity and carries alone, I think he has a chance to be pretty effective. For fantasy purposes, one of my favorite moves, and also one of the most controversial moves, and it's going to be tough to figure out, Danny Amendola to the Patriots. Now, he could also line up on the outside, but a lot of people are slotting him in to be the slot receiver. Can he replace Welker's production?
Oh, if he stays healthy, I absolutely think he can replace Welker's production. I mean, if nothing else, who is Tom Brady going to throw the ball to, you know? He's not throwing it to Aaron Hernandez this year, that's for sure. And no one exactly knows what Gronk is doing right now. I mean, there's rumors of him being back for week one. There's rumors of him starting
year on the pup list, which means that he would miss the first 6 weeks. If Danny Amendola can stay healthy and play all 16 games, I think he could match Walker and maybe surpass Walker.
Fair enough. Absolutely. But injury history is a big problem, with, especially, you know, with a lot of the guys we spoke about already. No, let me. We actually have a caller. Let's take our first caller. Caller, are you there?
Hello.
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 Hi, you're on the air. Do you have a question?
Yeah. I wasn't sure, but did you rank the second year quarterback?
The sophomore year quarterback. And what I meant by that, I think I know where you're going with this. I think you're going to say Colin Kaepernick is in the second year quarterback, but my second year starting quarterback. I'm sorry, I should have clarified that.
Yeah. How did you rank those guys?
Well, I had Colin Kaepernick first, actually, which 49er fans are going to love. Andrew Luck second, Robert Griffin third, and Russell Wilson fourth, just out of those four. What do you think? How do you think that's going to play out between those four?
I'm saying Kaepernick because I'm a 49er fan, but...
What's one of the first things I said at the beginning of the show? Let's not be too biased here, sir.
Yeah, but he also, you know, made it to the Super Bowl, too.
He did carry us to the Super Bowl.
He was also in the best situation team-wise. I mean, he was brought into a great organization and a great coach.
Also for fantasy purposes, he also definitely does pretty well with the running. So.
No, that's true.
Absolutely. I hear you on that one, and that's going to be one of the biggest things. As I mentioned before, Jim Harbaugh made sure he didn't gain too much muscle in order to maintain his speed throughout the season because they're going to use him effectively that way. And with Michael Crabtree hurt, they might need his legs a little bit more than his arm for the beginning of the year. Thanks for calling in. Let's continue on with our conversation. The next position move, Rashard Mendenhall and Carson Palmer to the Cardinals, both skill position players. This offense is completely revamped, and let's face it, anyone who watches for any Cardinals game, but especially the Jets Cardinals game, knows that the quarterback play of the Arizona Cardinals was nothing short of atrocious. And any running back in that situation wasn't given much of a chance. Beanie Wells got hurt. Ryan Williams got hurt. Beanie Wells is now gone. They did get Rashard Mendenhall, and their coach said that he is a clear-cut starter. He's gonna carry the load. We've seen him be successful before. Granted, he had many more weapons, better offensive line, but I still like his chances, especially, you know, for a guy who's going around fourth or fifth round. Ryan Williams wasn't too successful. Wasn't successful at all. He did face, whether it's an excuse or not, that he was hesitant to run last year because of his former injury. Anyone who's had an injury and is coming back knows that you're going to be a little tentative at first before you get used to everything. But he said he's going to have a much better year this year, but I don't think the coaches want that to happen. I think they want Rashard Mendenhall to be the workhorse. What do you think about Carson Palmer? And the biggest thing about Carson Palmer is what his prospects are going to do for Larry Fitzgerald.
Well, I think the biggest thing with Carson Palmer is if they can protect him, because he might be the most immobile quarterback in the league. He has great weapons, and he has maybe the best wide receiver in the league outside of Calvin Johnson. And then he has a young guy, Michael Floyd, who is drafted high and has a ton of natural talent. As far as Rashard Mendenhall goes, I like his chances to start. However, I hate his situation. You know, Arizona is almost like the places where running backs go to die. I don't know who was the last good running back that Arizona had. They have a terrible offensive line, although they did address that in the first round. You know, it's not going to be fixed like that.
Fair enough. We were just talking about Colin Kaepernick and his new biggest weapon with Michael Crabtree out, besides Vernon Davis, was Anquan Boldin, Super Bowl winning Anquan Boldin, who absolutely exploded in the playoffs. And we haven't seen that side of Anquan Boldin since he was in Arizona. It was extremely impressive. I don't think he's going to be – he is getting up there in age. I'm not sure he's going to be able to to keep that up all season. But you have to like his chances. I mean, he may not get as many opportunities in San Francisco with Kaepernick running the ball more. They do like to pound the ball with Frank Gore and their whole committee there. But, you know, Bolden is going to be a nice mid to late round wide receiver. He's fairly consistent. And maybe the limited workload will help keep him on the field. Now, what do you think about a lot of people are trying to make Bo this year. And unfortunately for him, it looks like Al Smith is going to be the best quarterback he's ever had throwing to him. What do you think?
That's a little bit of a shame, huh, when you could say you've been in the league for 8 years or so and Alex Smith is the best quarterback you've ever
had. He was a former first overall pick, but still, he hasn't had much NFL success.
So is David Carr and Jamarcus Russell. So
fair enough.
But I actually think Andy Reid going to the Chiefs is going to help the skill position of players more than Alex Smith. I think Alex Smith is going to be what he always was in a game manager. But I think the two players to look out with are Jamaal Charles and Dwayne Bowe. Alex Smith, while he's not a superstar, he's a very capable quarterback, capable of getting the ball to his best playmakers.
All right, and you know, I don't want to talk about this for long. Because I'm sick of hearing about New York teams with the comeback of Derek Jeter today. But Brandon Myers is a New York Giant. Let's face it, every Giants tight end just is pretty successful. Eli Manning knows how to use them. And for every, you know, for every player that leaves the Giants, they never have as successful as a career as they did while they were with the Giants. So let's just, we have to assume that Brandon Myers, although he had a good year, I think, what, 70 to 80 balls hit. He's a really good eater. But, you know, with Eli Manning, Eli just gets it. He just gets it. And he likes to use tight end, especially in the red zone. I just want to remind everybody before we move on, you're welcome to call in. The phone number here is 760-283-0846. All right. Now, what do you think to the Chargers? What a down year. Phillip Rivers gets some help with Danny Woodhead, the receiving running back out of the backfield. Not necessarily too effective in the tackles. The Patriots knew how to utilize them. And maybe this will help Phillip Rivers. They don't have many great receivers. Ryan Matthews can't stay healthy. Maybe Woodhead is going to be effective this season.
Yeah, I mean, you just hit it perfectly. You know, we talked about Chris Randall with the Cowboys and DeMarco Murray not staying healthy. You know, Ryan Matthews has the same problems. I think he's broken his collarbone 2 years in a row, which is actually pretty impressive. But, you know, in PPR leagues, there's a couple running backs that are drafted solely based on receptions. Guys like Darren Sproles, Shane Green in New England, Reggie Bush in Detroit. And I think this year Danny Woodhead might move into that category. Where, you know, I don't think 60 catches is out of the question for him.
He was faced with sort of a logjam in New England with, you know, some of the running backs you just named, with Vereen, Ridley, and whoever else they have back there. Now, let's say Matthew does get hurt again, which is very likely. And then they have their third running back, would be Ronnie Brown, who I know was rather ineffective last season and pretty much for the last 4 years of his career. Woodhead has a good chance to make an impact, like you said, especially in PPR league. Our last player move to a new team would be Flynn to Oakland. Now we don't necessarily know if he's going to be the starter yet. He is in a position battle with Tyler Wilson, quarterback from the draft. But I think Metzlin's going to win the job, and it looks like, you know, the receivers they have there, Canary is more slated to be the number one receiver. They want him to be big this year, and they need him to be big this year. McFadden can catch out of the backfield. They signed Rashad Jennings from Jacksonville, who is also a guy who can catch out of the backfield. So that might be able to help Metzlin out, or Tyler Wilson, whoever comes through. All right, we have another caller. Just a second. Paul, are you there?
Yes, I'm there. How are you? Thanks for doing
it. How are you?
Great. I'm great.
Great.
I have two quick questions. I'm just going to hang up so I can listen. First of all, Bengals, trending. I would think that we could all agree on that. How would you assess Dalton as the quarterback moving forward with the weapons that they have around him? That's question one. And question two is, with Aaron Hernandez probably getting the death penalty, how would you assess other tight ends coming forward after the guy?
Well, you know, sir, this may be a little too soon, but I'll take your call. You know, it's funny you mentioned both of those, actually, because with Aaron Hernandez out, which actually brings up. Yeah, it brings up the talk of the Tyler Akers, which we mentioned before, now that we're talking about Cincinnati weapons. They do still have Jermaine Gresham in Cincinnati. Both can be effective, but, you know, you use a first-round pick on Tyler Akers, you obviously want him to be the guy, and he certainly has the tools to do so. Just a big body, going to be a great red zone threat. And while we're on the subject of Aaron Hernandez, Gronkowski, they did speak of Gronkowski today. He is making improvements, but for now it looks like he's going to miss at least the first couple weeks of the season, which looks like Jake Ballard is the player, the tight end home in New England.
Yeah, and Jake Ballard with the Giants was a serviceable tight end.
He can catch the ball.
Yeah, I want to start him in fantasy, but if you're going to go the route where you want to draft Gronkowski and he's going to miss 2 or 3 weeks, Jake Ballard's not going to start for 2 or 3 weeks if you're going to get 14 weeks out of Gronkowski.
Right. Now, while we're on Patriots tight end, even though he isn't necessarily slotted right now, I know we have a few Tebow fans out there. I'd love to see what he can do. I think that's just a little bit of wishful thinking.
I'm not even going to comment on this one.
You know what? And if my co-host won't comment, I'd like someone to call in and speak with me about Tim Tebow, just so I could, just give my 2 cents about the situation. Let's move on to another skill position in the Patriots offense. We do have a position battle between the number two receiver, which is going to be between a few guys. We have Aaron Dobson, the rookie, Julian Edelman, the Wes Welker type, Michael Jenkins, Donald Jones. I don't think it matters really who wins this position, who wins this spot. We know Bill Belichick knows what he's doing for the most part. And no one has to catch the ball in New England offense. Who do you think has the best opportunity?
I personally think that Julian Edelman probably has the best opportunity to win the number two spot. You know, we've seen veterans go in, like Chad Johnson and Brandon Boyd, go into New England and not be able to learn the offense. They can't pick it up. You know, to the point where Chad Johnson was a non-factor in the Super Bowl year. So I just don't have any faith in Aaron Dobson going in there and, you know, earning significant playing time as a rookie. I think the thing about Julian Edelman, everybody, you know, compares him to Wes Welker because he's quick and he plays a lot as a slot and, well, let's say he's white. But, you know, he's a little bit bigger than Julian Edelman and Wes Welker or Danny Amendola. I think he could actually play on the outside if he had to. And I think he could put up pretty decent numbers because, like you said, let's face it, he is playing with Tom Brady. Tom Brady is going to put up decent numbers no matter who he throws the ball to. I mean, he won a Super Bowl with Troy Brown as wide receiver. Michael Jenkins is another dark horse to win this. He's a veteran. He can, you know, go into the playbook. And he is a former second-round pick, I believe, so he has some natural ability.
All right. It's like I said, whoever wins this spot is surely going to be effective just because Tom Brady is going to get his, and we know he has to throw the ball to someone. We did touch on the Packers running back situation earlier in the show. This one may not be big for fantasy purposes, but you never know. We do have the Bills quarterback situation. Kevin Cobb moving over from Arizona, we knew it was ineffective last year with a poor offensive line and the highly, although surprising, drafted E.J. Manuel out of Florida State. A big running quarterback with a very strong arm. They do have some weapons in Buffalo. T.J. Spiller can catch the ball out of the backfield. D.B. Johnson's actually been an underrated and consistent wide receiver from the past few years. I think they want E.J. Manuel to win the job, but it looks like Cobb may be a stopgap just to hold him over. I don't know about you, I wouldn't draft either of these players for fantasy purposes.
No, I completely agree. I mean, Buffalo doesn't have a lot of talent on offense. You know, Kevin Collins never really done too much in the NFL. And EJ Manuel, despite the fact that we let it show off with a lot of sophomore quarterbacks and saying how they made the quarterback position so much deeper this year, I just don't see EJ Manuel just coming in and making such an impact that Robert Griffin or Andrew Luck did.
Right, maybe not right away, but all it's going to take, as I mentioned with CJ Spiller, all it's going to take either one of these guys is, you know, a simple screen pass to CJ Spiller, and he's more than explosive. He's going to be a first-round pick in almost all leagues this year.
Yeah, well, if you want to draft your quarterback based on 80-yard screen passes to CJ Spiller, that's fine.
Right.
I don't think
either one of these guys should be drafted, but I think we have a chance for them to be productive, or at least you know, be serviceable in the short term. A QB spot that, especially in two QB leagues, which is definitely going to be draftable. The Eagles, Philadelphia Eagles quarterback spot. With highly touted coach Chip Kelly coming over with his offense, we don't know how it's going to pan out in the NFL, but we don't know who's best suited. A lot of people think Michael Vick right now, but then again, why did they draft Matt Barkley? Maybe they're looking for something new, and they also used a draft pick on Nick Foles last season, who got some work last year. Wasn't too effective, but, you know, Chip Kelly likes to try out new things. We might see a quarterback by committee, if that's even possible. But I like Vic to win the job, possibly hold it down for a little bit. We all know he has quite the injury history as well. What do you think about the situation?
Yeah, I like Vic to win the job as well. I don't see Matt Barkley coming in and running that offense in rookie year. And, you know, I don't think Foles is overall that good. I think you hit the nail on the head. I mean, if Vic wins the job, he could be draftable in fantasy leagues, especially in two quarterback leagues, he's almost certainly draftable. But, you know, I would wait to the preseason and see how Chip Kelly's offense comes across and, you know, see what these quarterbacks are doing in the preseason to make any decisions on this one.
All right, fair enough. They did draft a few weapons, too. They took a tight end. They do have LeSean McCoy and Bryce Brown, the rookie from last season, second-year running back now, who was effective in this offense. I think they're going to try a bunch of different things. We'll see how this offense works out in the NFL. Like I said, we don't know how it's going to transition from the college game. It's definitely different, but there's a reason that Philly paid Chip Kelly all his money, because he obviously knows what he's doing. Our last position battle, which might be the biggest for fantasy purposes, the Rams running back spot, which we touched on before. We have Isaiah Pede, Dowell Richardson, and, of course, the recently drafted Zach Pete. What the Rams want and what actually may happen, I think, are two different things. Dowell Richardson, a seventh-round pick from last year, a little bit of a smaller back. They didn't give him much of an opportunity, and again, Steven Jackson was in that backfield, and I think he had the starting job locked down, at least to start the season. But what they did was they were forced to give Dowell Richardson a chance. He started off the season on a tear, averaging about 5.5 yards per carry, of course, fading towards the end of the year. But they did use a higher pick on his AFP. Now it looks like Isaiah Pede is going to be suspended for one game for substance abuse problems. That just completely opens the door for Dowell Richardson and Zach Stacy. Richardson's a more explosive one. He looks like he could be more. He has spent his off season working on pass protection in order to become an every down back, because clearly that's what he wants to be. I think it's going to be an intriguing battle with the NFL. He's the only one with a resume. And probably the most explosive one. I think Dowell Richardson's the fantasy back to home here.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think that Dowell Richardson is going to win the starting job. What's the most interesting thing about this is that, you know, we talk about the running back battle going on in Green Bay, but, you know, Green Bay throws the ball a lot. They have one of the top quarterbacks in the league. St. Louis doesn't have that big of a passing offense. So whoever does win this battle might turn out to be a pretty good fantasy running back.
All right, fair enough. I think we covered all the position battles.
Let's go over to the emails and see if we have any questions. Get the first one. When Michael Vick goes to Chip Kelly's offense, do you think with the improved offensive line, short, quick passes, and LeSean McCoy to run the ball more, that he'll never play 15 games? 16 games. Even 15 games would be a success for him. It's absolutely possible. You have to assume that he's going to get hit less. He's going to release the ball quicker. They do have talented wide receivers there. Jeremy Mackin, Sean Jackson, these guys, they can get open quickly. They're both very quick on their feet. Deshaun Jackson's a little bit more of a deep threat. It's definitely going to be interesting to see how they use all these guys, especially Deshaun McCoy, and as I mentioned before, Bryce Brown as well.
Yeah, and to add on to that, the Eagles are getting Jason Peters back, who missed the whole season last year. And Chip Kelly's offense is going to be very interesting. I mean, it's based on getting playmakers the ball, and the Eagles have plenty of playmakers in McCoy, Jackson, and Macklin.
All right. Go to the next email. It says, which running back? Hey, it looks like they're going to be taken around the same time. Which running back would you rather have throughout the course of the season? Chris Ivory or Chardonnay and Moss?
I would personally go with Chris Ivory. They both have a little bit of an injury history, Mendenhall more expensive. But the bottom line is, I just think that Chris Ivory's in a better situation. Like I said, not many running backs go to Arizona and do well. And they do have a quarterback linked in time and throw the ball successfully with one of the better wide receivers in the league and an up-and-coming wide receiver. And, the Jets have Mark Sanchez at quarterback with no wide receivers. I think that the Jets are going to be forced to run the ball, and Chris Ivory is going to get a majority of the carries.
Gotcha. All right. To be honest, I'm going to lean the other way on that one. I like Rashard Mendenhall's chances in Arizona. They have improved their offense. Larry Fitzgerald can be more of a threat. They do have weapons there. Maybe subtle, and they haven't been successful lately. But Carson Palmer, he was a top 10 quarterback throughout a few weeks of the season last year. I think at the right offense, with the right receiver, I think he could still be pretty effective, and that's only going to play out to Rashard Mendenhall's advantage. Our next question looks like, how effective do you think Percy Harvin is going to be in the Seattle Seahawks offense? How are they going to – the biggest question here, I think, is how are they going to use him? Are they going to use him on punt returns, as a slot receiver? Minnesota, he was a very versatile player. They might want to conserve him a little bit since he does have a little bit of an injury history. But I think their usage – or I think his effectiveness is going to depend on their usage. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think that they're going to use him on too many returns just because of his injury history. But he is the biggest weapon on one of the better teams in the league. He's playing with a quarterback that's only going to get better, a great offensive line that's going to give the quarterback time. And Percy Harvin is one of those players that when he gets the ball in his hand, he can take to the house anytime he wants.
He is house. I'll give you that. Major house. All right, we do have, it looks like we're going to take our last caller. I think he does have a question. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am here.
Caller, do you have a question for us?
Yeah, I just got a question for you. Doug Martin, how do you feel about him next year? I'm thinking about keeping him maybe in a fourth round for next season. Obviously, he might probably go first round. Do you think he's a safe keeper in the fourth?
In the fourth round? You know what? I think he'd be a good keeper for fourth overall. I actually have him rated as my second running back, which he did finish in, especially in PPR leagues. He finished as the second rated running back last season. As we all know, that's his rookie year. He does get both his starting yards back. He did that without Carl Nix, who got hurt during the season. And it's only they like to run the ball. Shiano likes to run the ball ever since his days back at Rutgers. Doug Martin has potential to be the number one guy this year. I wouldn't be surprised if he surpasses Adrian Peterson. I don't think he necessarily will. I don't think health is going to be an issue, and we all know. I mean, you can't deny the fact that he might have the most interesting nickname of the muscle hamster.
Yeah, I think if you can keep Doug Vaughn in the fourth round, you should absolutely do that. I mean, I have him as like fourth overall rated player, and you know, elite players in fantasy football are coming by. You basically have to have a top six or seven pick to get an elite running back. And as Mo mentioned, you get both of the starting guards back, and especially the league, the PPR league. I believe he had the eighth most catches of any running back in the league last year, and he's second overall in points. So if you could get him in the fourth round, I would absolutely keep him.
I mean, do you have any other options?
I mean, right now I'm not really too interested in keeping any of my other players from last season. My one best player I would keep would probably be, I can't keep Marshawn. I can't keep Marshall. I mean, it would just be too high. I think I would really dead set on having Doug Martin as my keeper for next year.
Based on where the other guys were probably drafted last season, it sounds like Doug Martin would be your best bet.
Yeah, I think that's
the best bet. Everybody else would be way too high, and I'd probably pick up somebody better, and I was just going through it.
All right, great.
Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Appreciate it. Thanks for the call. We actually have four more emails before we wrap it up. All right, who do you think is a better first-round pick, Jamal Charles or LeSean McCoy? We all know there are two similar players, both very explosive. Personally, just because of the questions concerning Chip Kelly's offense, we don't know exactly how LeSean McCoy is going to be used. We don't even know who his quarterback is going to be honest. Jamal Charles, even though he has an injury history, I think Andy Reid is going to use Jamal Charles as he did with LeSean McCoy, which was, as we all know, a top three running back, especially for fantasy purposes years ago. I know you're a big fan of Jamal Charles. I think you're going to go with him as well here.
Yeah, like, you hit the nail on the head. It's an interesting email because you're talking about the running back that Andy Reid left for the running back that Andy Reid went to. Don't quote me on the stats, but I believe that before last year, LeSean McCoy had 78 catches and 20 total touchdowns, which, you know, you could make an argument that Jamal Charles is every bit as good as LeSean McCoy skill-wise. I do have Jamal Charles ranked higher than LeSean McCoy, but I will say this. As soon as we get a look at the Chip Kelly offense, you know, I have LeSean McCoy ranked as my ninth overall running back, but there is definitely potential to move up.
Got it. As we mentioned before, I think both these guys qualify as house takers. Definitely.
Oh, yeah, they both take it to the house.
Take it to the house. Speaking of take it to the house, I think that's going to wrap it up. Please check in with the Facebook page in order to see what our show is going to be about next week. As always, we're going to be on Thursday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thanks for listening, and just get your emails in, and we'll get to them as soon as we can on the next week's show. All right, have a great night.